It was a bit of fun playing Simon Says before. I know I struggled. I was out pretty early. I didn't listen very well. And the consequence for me was having to sit down. But I wonder if you can remember a story in your life that you didn't listen or didn't listen well enough and there were consequences. For me, there was definitely consequences. One time that I didn't listen well enough, one of many times that have happened before. And for me, it was the very first time I shaved. It's a very significant moment in a young male's life. I remember it was about year 8, year 9, I can't remember exactly. My mum said, "Matt, I think it's time to shave." I think I might have had 6 little hairs on my moustache and 2 little hairs on my chin, but I felt like a man right at that moment. I needed to shave. And so mum bought me some shaving cream. She bought me a razor. None of this electric shaver. I was going a razor to start with. And dad wasn't around at that moment to teach me how to shave. So mum gave me all the equipment and she said, "Matt, just wait and I'll tell you what to do. I'm just going to do something else, but just wait." And I thought to myself, what's my mum going to teach me how to shave? She doesn't know what to do in shaving her face. Hopefully. And then hopefully mum doesn't listen to this. I love my mum. Mum's fantastic. But I think to myself, I didn't really listen to her that moment. I'm like, no, I can do this. I can do this by myself. So I put the shaving cream all throughout my face, made the sort of the beard, even though it was only really there and there, I needed to do it. And I got the razor and I'm looking at it. I'm like, how do I do this? Let's just give it a crack. And so the first time, I just went, jing. I didn't do anything with my skin or my upper lip. I didn't like try to stretch it out or anything. And as soon as I did it, I just took this chunk of flesh off of my lip. And I was like, that really hurt. Blood starts pouring out. And instead of stopping in that moment and thinking maybe I should ask mum, I thought to myself, maybe I just didn't do it fast enough. So I just put it on a different angle and I'm like, I don't pierce my lip like that again. I just go, ching, right then. And then this time a bigger chunk of flesh comes off. And at this stage, like, blood is like pouring out. I've yelled out. It's not good. And mum comes running in and mum's like, what's going on? At this stage, I've got like strawberry swirl on my face. Like the blood is like mixed in with the shaving cream. It's like a horror scene. And there was definitely consequences for me not listening in that moment. If you come look closely later on, if you want, I've got a couple scars on my upper lip for where I didn't listen. And I took a chunk out of my upper lip. And that's what I want to share with you today, this idea around listening. But before I start, I just want to pray and just give this to God. So just bow your heads really quickly. Dear God, just thank you that you're here right now. Allow us just to make space to hear from you. Allow us to have open ears to hear where you're leading and guiding us. Allow this to be your words, not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as I said from my story, and you probably know in your life, that listening is important. You might have heard the saying that we are created with 2 ears and 1 mouth, that we should be listening a lot more than what we're actually speaking. And from my story, there's consequences. There's a verse that in the Bible from the book of James that talks about listening. It says, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." And if I was to think of a TV show where this applies to a character, or maybe they don't do enough of it, it's from a show, Suits. Has anyone watched the show Suits? And if you know Suits, you probably know exactly who I'm talking about right now, who has a little bit of a short fuse. And the photo up on the screen, Lewis Litt. You've been lit up. Lewis is not very good at listening, and he is very quick to become angry. He finds it very hard to hear others' perspective, and he just explodes in the moment. And there's lots of, pretty much the show is just based on him blowing up at someone else and them fighting, and then they come back together, and that's the end of the episode until the next one. Especially the last couple of seasons, not worth watching. But I believe listening to God actually saves us heartache. Having to face some of these consequences, it gives us guidance and reassurance. But you might have a few questions when I talk about listening. Maybe it's you find it hard listening. Maybe you're finding it hard right now. I wonder, are you listening to the right things? And maybe you know God a lot, or maybe you only know God a little. And when I talk about this listening to God, you're like, what does that look like? Or why would I even do that? And maybe there's a bigger question going in your mind right now. I might be listening to God, but does God listen to me? And so what we're going to do to start with to answer some of these questions or to look deeper into them is to look at a story in the Bible of a guy called Samuel. I'm going to recap it from 1 Samuel 3. And so this guy called Samuel is in the older part of the Bible, the Old Testament. And he has this pretty incredible birth story where his mother, Hannah, is unable to give birth for many years. She's what they call barren back then. And she ends up, through the grace of God, able to give birth to a son. And this boy is named Samuel. And he ends up actually growing up in the church and actually serving as an apprentice to a priest, Eli. And Samuel is actually around about the age of, or a little bit younger than some of you here tonight. When we pick up this story, he's around about 11 or 12 years old. And so, recapping 1 Samuel 3, we've got Samuel living at the temple of the church, working alongside Eli the priest, an older guy. And it says back in those days that the word of the Lord, it says that the prompting, hearing from God was very rare. And one night, when it was dark, when Eli was sleeping in his quarters and Samuel was in his, Samuel hears these words. It says, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel goes racing to Eli. He thinks, there's no one else here. It must be Eli. So he comes racing up to him, to Eli, and he goes, here I am. And Eli goes, what are you talking about? I didn't call you. I was just about to get to sleep, and now you've woken me up. He goes, go back to where you're sleeping. Go back to where you're sleeping. And then Samuel's just about to nod off again, and he hears this quiet whisper. He goes, Samuel. And Samuel goes, wow, it must be Eli. So he races back to Eli, and he goes, I'm here. Like, you called me. I'm listening. And Eli goes, what are you talking about? I was just about to get to sleep again. Go back to bed. What are you doing? You're making it hard for me to get to sleep. And it says in this part there, it says that Samuel knew of God. He knew of God, but he didn't actually know God. I didn't know his character. He didn't know how to make space to listen to him. And then finally, a third time happens. Samuel's lying there, just about to nod off again. And he hears the exact same call as before. And it says, Samuel. And so Samuel comes racing up to Eli, probably just whacks him on the back and goes, seriously, you called me. Here I am. And Eli goes, what are you talking about? And then it finally clicks with Eli. And he realizes that it's actually God calling Samuel in this time. It's not Eli. And he says to Samuel, go lie down. And if he calls you again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so Samuel goes and lays down, and the exact same call, no different. He hears it again, Samuel. And this time Samuel responds with, speak, for your servant is listening. And then God actually ends up revealing to Samuel that this story of something that's going to happen in the near future. But there was nothing different about the call of God, but it was actually that Samuel actually made space to listen to God in that moment. And so I want to respond to this story and this idea of listening with four different questions. Is, do you want to listen? Do you actually want to listen to what God has for you? And I know for myself, there was a story of this idea of, do you want to listen? When I was about 6 years old, I was in year one. I had this obsession with my brothers of weighing ourselves to see who would weigh the most. And so we'd grab the scales and we'd go to our bedroom and weigh ourselves and see who would weigh the most. And my brother's about 18 months different, so we're always pretty similar. But then one day, I grabbed the scales. I went to take him into the other room and I looked back and there was something that I had never seen before, something up on the screen in my parents' ensuite. It was a brown snake. And as a six-year-old, I freaked out. Like, I jumped back, I ran to Dad and I was like, Dad, there's a brown snake in your bathroom. And back then, and probably still now, I'm a bit of a trickster, and I had a fake snake toy, so I used to always play pranks. So at this moment, Dad didn't want a bar of it. He's like, whatever, Matt, like, stop playing a trick on me, it's fine. And so then I kept badgering Dad, kept badgering him, and then he finally decided, all right, I'll go look at this snake, I'll get pranked by Matt, and that'll be over. So I remember Dad walking in barefooted into the bathroom, about to take a step in, and then jumping back, almost making a scream, and then quickly racing off, grabbing a big knife, chopping the snake's head off. But do you know what was even cooler than seeing my dad chop the snake's head off? What was really cool is I had show and tell that day at school. So I took the dead snake in a jar to show and tell. And that was the best show and tell that the school had ever seen. A dead brown snake. It is a bit gross, isn't it? I don't know how my parents let me do that. But in that moment, my dad didn't actually want to listen to me, to my story about my snake. to the snake. But to listen to God, we actually need to be first willing to listen. Do we have a listening heart? Do we actually believe that God actually has something to say to us and that we would actually be willing to hear it? Sometimes we can pray to God and we can pray and we can ask for things and then we cut God off. It's like, that's done, I'll move on. We don't actually make space to actually hear from him. And if we don't listen, we actually miss a lot. And there's heartache. And imagine if my dad didn't listen to me and the brown snake just kept living in it in the bathroom. There's heartache if we don't listen. Our second question I want to ask you is, are you making space to listen? If we look back at the story of Samuel, that he knew God, he worshipped God, he spent time serving God, but he didn't recognize God's voice, his prompting, and maybe he wasn't used to making space to listen to God. And as I highlighted before in that passage, that God's call on Samuel, his call to him, was actually the exact same every time. The first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time. But what was different in the fourth time is that Samuel actually made space. He was ready, he was tuned in, he was at a posture of listening. And he said those words, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Samuel was ready to listen as he'd made space to hear from God. And in our lives, I don't know about you, but if you're praying about something or you're wanting something, you want to hear from God, how much easier it would just be to have some sky riding as an answer, maybe a bolt of lightning or a burning bush. But maybe God is actually already in our lives, whispering in our ear, maybe knocking on our door, but we actually aren't listening. We're too busy or something else. And I haven't heard God audibly in my life, but I believe that God speaks to us. He prompts us in many different ways. And one of them is he actually speaks to us through his word, the Bible. We actually believe that the Bible is a living word. And in verse 21 of what I was reading before in 1 Samuel 3, it says that Samuel had this pretty incredible encounter with God, that God had spoken to him, called his name, and he'd revealed something through to him. But then it says, the Lord continued to reveal himself to Samuel through his word. That as he continued to engage with God's word, that God revealed more and more of his character. And I don't know how many times I've been reading the Bible, and sometimes I don't know what's going on in my situation, then something just leaps off the page when I read the Bible. I was reading Matthew 6 the other day, and I was a little bit worried and anxious about some things going on. And then it was so reassuring just to read about how God views me and how he treats me if we look at the birds of the sky and the lilies of the field and how he actually cares for them and how much more important are we, or who by worrying can add a single hour to our life and that tomorrow will worry about itself. I also believe that God speaks to us in other different ways, through other people. And that's why it's important to have wise people in our lives, that God puts people in our lives to speak to us. Through creation, that God is the amazing creator. I don't know, if you look at your hand, you look at fingerprints, you go out in nature, it's incredible to see the creating God and what he's been able to create and to see his glory at work. Another one is music, whether that's worship or not. God speaks to us through worship when we make space to hear from him in worship. And it can look in many different ways to those what I've just said there. But the first thing is to actually make space to hear. But what gets in the way of us listening? One of the first things is busyness. We go from rushing from one thing to the next. We want to fill everything, every moment of the day with something. We believe the lie that if we're not doing something, we're not achieving something. And it actually stops us from listening to God. The second one is noise. If we're not filling it with time, we're filling it with noise. We love to listen to music, to TV, to car radio, to YouTube, to social media. And none of these things are bad things. But it's if we can never be still or quiet, we can actually stop us from hearing from God. And I don't know about you, but sometimes being still and quiet seems like torture. And I have to be honest, if I was speaking to my year 8 self right now, I probably would find it hard to listen to myself. But there's a verse in the Psalms, chapter 46, verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." And being quiet is actually okay sometimes. It was good enough for Jesus. He made space on earth to be with his Father, to get to know him. And when we do it, we can actually become more aware of God. We can actually notice more. I don't know if you've ever sat on your front porch or been at a park or something and just listen to the wind or heard the birds chirping to actually see things moving in the wind. We notice that we miss those things when we're busy, when we're doing things, when there's lots of noise going on. And if you're in your life right now and you're trying to make decisions, if you're trying to get answers, well, then make space for God. You won't be disappointed. And I believe even if you don't really believe in God, I actually believe that being still and making space in your life is such an important thing, and you'll see benefits. And maybe God will actually rock up and actually shock you in that. The more we make space as well, the more we actually get used to hearing God's voice, to hear his guidance. And there's a quote that says, "Is your time with the Lord what defines you, or is it the noise around that defines who you are?" That we can get caught up so much in the other things instead of making space for the Lord, where our identity is. Another thing is we can fill ourselves with what may not be helpful, whether it's the thing we listen to or culture or the people that we let influence us. There's a quote that says, "Show me your friends and I will show you your future." And that's pretty intense. But you can tell a lot about a person from their friends. And that's because friends actually influence us. We become more like each other. And especially at your age, that friends can actually be a major influence on your lives. So I want you to think about who are the people that I'm surrounding myself with. In 1 Corinthians, another part of the Bible, in chapter 15, verse 33, it says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." We can get caught up so much in thinking about what our friends think about us, what other people think about us, instead of actually worrying and actually listening to what God actually thinks about us. And there's one last thing that gets in the way of us actually listening to God. And that's actually our own negative thoughts. For all of us, negative thoughts will come. But if we dwell on them, if we let them become louder and louder, we actually start to believe them. We believe lies about not about what God actually has created us to be. And I know that there's medical conditions around this that are above my expertise, and you should seek out professional help. But I know that this idea of having negative thoughts come into your mind is not unique to just you. I know it happens in my life. There's always times where thoughts come into my head, "Hey, Matt, you're not good enough. Hey, Matt, you don't look like that. Hey, Matt, you're not as good as someone else at that." But it's actually not to dwell on those, to allow those to become louder and louder. And for me, I found a really great way of doing this is to actually make separation, to stop in that moment and say, you know what, that thought has come into my mind, but that's not what God thinks about me. That's not who he's actually created me to be. That's my mind telling me that. And I know for myself that a great way as well to counteract this is actually to memorize some scripture, such as, "You have been fearfully and wonderfully made." And this is the last question I want to cover tonight is, why do we listen? Does God listen to us? Nice, easy one. 2 in 1. But this same guy, David, who I was talking about before in Psalms, wrote in chapter 22, 1 verse 2, he was struggling with different things happening in his life. He was wondering, does God listen to me? He even wrote these words, my God, why have you left me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out to you, but you do not answer by night and am not silent. And I wonder for you tonight, do you feel like God's not listening to you? You feel like you're crying out and you're not getting an answer. And it can be really hard when we're going through these hard things to see, where are you, God? But I believe we can listen to God because God first listens to us. He loves us. He knows what's best for us. He wants the best for us. And he wants relationship with us. And he wants relationship with us, not just when things are going well, but when things are hard, through the hard stuff in life. And this guy, David, who wrote these words about how he was struggling to hear from God, he felt far from God. But he also knew the importance of making space in his life to spend time listening to God. And he actually writes in one chapter later in the Bible, in Psalm 23, which a lot of you may know, talks about God as our shepherd. And there's a powerful verse in there that says, this is what David is saying, that even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. That David knew that he was going to go through tough things in his life, but when he did that, he knew that he had a God that listened to him, that was actually with him every step of the way, leading him and guiding him, giving him comfort. So I want to finish tonight by just asking you, maybe you know God, but when's the last time you actually spent time listening to God? To stop being busy, to stop doing, to drown out the noise, to stop what the other things that are influencing you, and to actually be in relationship. And it takes practice to get to know his voice, but it gives refreshment, it gives peace, and it gives guidance. And so I want to give you a challenge just for this week, just to try something different. is to actually make space in your life to listen, to set aside 20 minutes of one of your day, to actually start by getting rid of the distractions. Maybe it's turning your phone off. Maybe it's not listening to music while you're driving or going for a walk. Maybe it's just writing out all the different distractions that are going on in your life, to write those out, and then just to spend 20 minutes with God. Maybe that's in your backyard, or maybe at a park, reading your Bible, having a book open, writing stuff down. Or maybe it's just as simple, if you've got your peas, just driving without the music on, or going for a walk without noise. But to actually sit and be still with God, and to know and be encouraged, to make space, be still, listen, and get to know God. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're a faithful God that is with us through every different situation. We just pray that we can make space to hear from you. Yeah, we thank you that you do speak to us. You do lead, you do guide us. We just pray for, and thank you for the refreshment. The refreshment that comes only from spending time with you. We just pray that we can continue to lean into that, to not be distracted by other different things in our lives, but actually to intentionally make space to hear from you, to be in relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.